brought to you by Penguin.
Firebrand by Elizabeth Freemantle. Read by Georgina Sutton.
Prologue. Charterhouse, London, February 1543. The notary smells of dust and ink. How is it, Latimer wonders, that when one sense blunts, another sharpens? He can pick up the scent of everything. The reek of ale on the man's breath, the yeasty whiff of bread baking in the kitchens below, the wet dog stink of the spaniel curled up by the hearth. But he can see little. The room swims, and the man is a vague dark shape, leaning over the bed with a grimace of a smile. "Make your mark here, my lord," he says, enunciating as if talking to a child or an idiot. A waft of violets sweeps over him. It is Catherine, his dear, dear Kit. "Let me help you up, John," she is saying, as she shifts his body forward and slips a pillow behind him. She lifts him so easily. He must have wasted quite away these last months. It is no wonder with the lump in his gut, hard and round as a Spanish grapefruit. The movement starts something off, an excruciating wave that rises through his body, forcing an inhuman groan from him. "My love," Catherine strokes his forehead. Her touch is cool. The pain twists deeper into him. He can hear the clink of her preparing a tincture. The spoon flashes as it catches the light. The chill of metal touches his lips, and a trickle of liquid pools in his mouth. Its loamy scent brings back a distant memory of riding through woods, and with it a sadness, for his riding days are over. His gullet feels too thick to swallow, and he fears setting off the pain again. It has receded, but hovers, as does the notary, who shifts from one foot to the other in an embarrassed shuffle. Latimer wonders why the man is not more used to this kind of thing, given that wills are his living. Catherine strokes his throat and the tincture slides down. Soon it will take effect. His wife has a gift with remedies. He has thought about what kind of potion she could concoct to set him free from this useless carcass of his. She'd know exactly what would do it. After all, any of the plants she uses to deaden his pain could kill a man if the dose were right. A little more of this or that, and it would be done. But how can he ask that of her? A quill is placed between his fingers, and his hand is guided to the papers so he can make his mark. His scrawl will make Catherine a woman of considerable means. He hopes it will not bring the curse of fortune hunters to her door. She is still young enough, just past 30, and her charisma, that made him already an elderly widower, falls so deeply, still hangs over her like a halo. She never had the ordinary beauty of other men's wives. No, her attraction is complicated and has blossomed with age. But Catherine is too sharp to be taken in by some silver-tongued charmer with his eye on a widow's fortune. He owes her too much. When he thinks of how she has suffered in his name, it makes him want to weep, but his body is incapable of even that. He has not left her Snape Castle, his Yorkshire seat. She wouldn't want it. She would be happy, she has said many times, if she were never to set foot in Snape again. Snape will go to young John. Latimer's son did not turn out quite the man he'd hoped, and he has often wondered what kind of child he might have had with Catherine. But that thought is always shadowed with the memory of the dead baby, the damned infant that was made when the Catholic rebels ransacked Snape. He cannot bear to imagine how that baby came about, fathered by, of all people, Murgatroyd, whom he used to take out hunting hares as a boy. He was a sweet lad, showed no sign of the brute he would become. Latimer curses the day he left his young wife alone with his children.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?